97.9 FM, WCHL, and the UNC College of Journalism and Mass Communication presents Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examinations of issues of overarching importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions to problems in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the UNC campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, unique ways for athletes to speak out against domestic violence. Our guests, Lieutenant Jerry Scrocky of the Hayes County Sheriff's Office, that's near Austin, Texas, and Coach DeVore Holman at Davie County High, right here in North Carolina. Jerry, we'll start with you. The initiative there in Hayes County is that during the month of October, there will be red silhouettes of women who have lost their lives to domestic violence in Hayes County. What brought this about?
The Silent Witness Program was actually started in our area by the Texas Council on Family Violence, and they've just proven to be a very impactful message to have a life-size silhouette standing there with their story on the front. And it's one of those things that people really have the opportunity at their own pace to go up and read and sort of become introspective about it.
DeVore, we've become accustomed to seeing a lot of pink on players and coaches and even officials during high school football in October. Now, Jerry and the others there in Hayes County are going to have these silhouettes. You guys are going with purple shoes. Tell me how that came about.
It came about by our arts department, Ms. Reith and Ms. Allen down there. They have really worked hard to put something together for this month, the domestic violence. And they came to me and asked me, would we mind partnering up? And I immediately thought, with all the stuff going on in the media with our professional athletes, and here's an opportunity to talk to our kids and get them involved right now in this program so that we can also teach life lessons when it comes to domestic violence.
We should point out, and to be fair to our professional athletes, that the domestic violence rates among pro athletes is less than it is among the general population, but more than others in their income bracket. So just to give us a little context there. Lieutenant, only 9 women have lost their lives to domestic violence in that 12-year span, and those are the silhouettes that you're using. But I would assume that there have been many more women who have suffered less than death to violence in that time period.
The numbers are astronomical, and we're just talking about local Hayes County victims. We certainly have more than that, but we just picked some that were in each of our representative communities because we wanted to hit every city that we are surrounded by and let people know it can happen anytime, anywhere, to anyone, any age, any circumstances. So we just picked a handful as representative. Unfortunately, the numbers are much greater, but what we're also looking at is the ultimate sacrifice paid by these women, and that's kind of what we're looking at. We are not limiting ourselves to just death. We actually educate in the form of outreach. In each of our games, we actually pass out outreach information, including statistical information, in regards to the impact across the board that we see. And it certainly starts with minor injuries, and then it can escalate depending on if it's unchecked and not dealt with.
Coach, again, to reference back to breast cancer awareness and wearing the pink, why is it that you think that things like this through high school football are so impactful?
I think it's impactful because, first of all, there's a big percentage of people in the communities that come out and support their local high schools and athletics, and it's also a good chance for us to, you know, these kids, you know, are our future. And the more that we can talk about domestic violence now at their age, you know, the better that chances are that they will handle those situations a lot better as they become adults. And, you know, one of our art teachers, Miss Allen, she is a survivor, and so it's dear to her heart and it's dear to my heart. And you know, a lot of these kids grow up in homes that they may see domestic violence in their homes, and so some of them may think this it's okay. We want to spread the word that it's not okay, and that those type of things need to be reported immediately.
And Jerry, one of the things that volunteers will be doing there in Hayes County is resources to assist victims. How's that going to work? Will someone want to come up and say, oh, by the way, I'm a victim of domestic violence?
Well, what we do is twofold. We actually read about the statistics. Our announcer at the beginning of the game brings attention to our volunteers and what they're doing. He reads the statistical information that we have, but more importantly, all of our football players are also wearing the purple ribbon on their helmet. And so we're taking that opportunity at that point to ask the participants to notice that purple ribbon, and we are wanting to create awareness. So we are letting the public know, we are passing out informational brochures about this epidemic, and it may not apply to you, but you may be able to pay it forward to someone that you know, love, or care about. And so we're asking people to take this information, maybe not necessarily for themselves, but someone they know, care about, they love, an acquaintance that may need that information, so they can educate themselves about how best to help them, and as well as pay it forward if necessary, so they know that there are local resources out there. And so it's a cooperative thing. We've done it in partnership with, to echo Coach's sentiments, we've coined it Join Our Team, Say No to Relationship Violence, and we want everybody to understand, and I agree with them, our young people are our voice, but what an incredible way to impact the community, because not only do we have those kids there, but now we have the students in that community, as well as the people who come to watch, and now we also get to have our away students, faculty, and staff, and the people in the stands take our message back to their own community so that ripple effect becomes even greater.
We'll return to Sports Focus right after this.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. Our topic is unique ways for high school athletes, football players specifically, to speak out against domestic violence. We're talking to Lieutenant Jerry Scrocky of the Hays County Sheriff's Office in Texas and Coach DeVore Holman of Davie County High here in North Carolina. Coach, what's the level of enthusiasm for your players participating in this?
Our young men are very enthusiastic about what we've got going on right now. We do a lot of things in the past and now in the present as well with breast cancer awareness, you know, with the pink and everything and representing, trying to do that. So with all the stuff that's going on in the media right now concerning domestic violence, it's fresh on their minds. They talk amongst themselves about it. They want to be able to have some kind of part in positively trying to fix what's going on. And for, you know, a bunch of 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds, that's tremendous. I appreciate them for wanting to do that. Because if one life can be touched, if one person can come forward and say, you know, this is me, this is what's happening to me, but I've always been too scared to report it to anyone. You know, if one person can step up, then I believe, and I truly believe, that it's worth our while. And for the young people, our youth of our community, across our nation, to, you know, to voice their opinion and to step up, I think that's what we need more of.
Jerry, when you see a player wearing pink, you're reminded, of course, of breast cancer awareness, wearing purple, domestic violence. But these silhouettes, I have to tell you, having just seen a photo of what the silhouettes look like, there are different sizes, different body shapes. They have the name of the woman and some information about her. That really has an impact. Who came up with that concept?
Well, I would like to tell you, this was a team component. We had every single law enforcement agency within our community involved, as well as our local family violence shelter, and also all of our football teams. This is including all of our private and public high school football teams with our university. And we all came together and decided that as a group we were collectively. So this is countywide, which is really an incredible feat for us to get all of these teams and all these agencies on board. Now, the core group is made up of primarily the law enforcement and the Women's Center, and we as a group came up with this idea on how to really, it's always a challenge to make something that is an initiative that goes on every year to make it new, fresh, and really to engage people in a different way, because, you know, you tend to get, I think, sort of conditioned to seeing the same thing over and over again. And so we all just collectively put our heads together and say, how are we going to come up with an impactful statement? And this is what really rose to the top.
Coach, we've talked to experts, we've talked to current players in the pros and in college, and something that's very common from all of them is, how do you turn it off?
Well, you know, first of all, you're right. We ask these kids to be very aggressive in their play, you know, and I always tell them that you play the game between the lines, All right. And that's between the lines at practice and between the lines in the game situation. However, when you're not between the lines, then you have to cut that switch off. You know, there's no room for being aggressive when you're outside the lines. When you're outside the lines, you need to be very attentive, and you need to be listening to everything that's going on. So, you know, yes, you're right. We train these guys and we coach them, and they've been playing ball since they were little leaguers and junior high kids, and now they're in high school. And so, yes, they're very aggressive. But at the same time, as we as coaches are teaching them about life lessons, so should we be teaching them about, you know, how to turn it on and turn it off. You know, some kids don't know how to turn it off. You know, and unfortunately, some of those kids don't stick with the program because those kids that can't control their aggressiveness are some of the kids that end up in trouble in school and in classrooms and in the community and things of that nature. So I think we have to do a good job as coaches to get them to understand that when you're in between the line, we're going to be very aggressive. But outside the lines, outside the locker room, when you're in your classroom, when you're at Walmart, when you're in the community, hey, we want you to be upright, standing citizens and act the way we ask you to act. So that's my feelings on that.
Jerry, something else that our experts have said is that by the time someone gets to the pros, for example, it's almost too late. Whatever is ingrained, and there's nothing you can do. And I know part of your initiative to break the cycle is with this younger generation. So how do you use what's in the news now to help them understand how they should act, as the coach just alluded to?
Well, I mean, I think we're all a product of learned behavior and what we see and what we hear when we grow up. I mean, but we also know that we are independent thinkers and we have the ability to change our own behavior. That's what our system is based on, is that we learn from our mistakes and we start that at a very young age as correcting children. And sometimes that means the same thing in correcting our young people, our teenagers. And as adults, we all know we're capable of change, not to say that it's not a difficult road. And we see some people who repeat this cycle over and over again. The best thing I can tell you and what our hope and prayer is I would hope one day we never have to do this. Unfortunately, I think we all recognize and realize that there's always going to be some semblance of a learning curve with all of us. We all tend to make the same mistakes, and we just, if I looked at it from the standpoint that we were going to solve it, you know, it would be wonderful, but I think we all have to stay realistic. If I can stop one person, then I feel like our program has been successful. But with anything, the building blocks are there, and we tighten up when we get, maybe they don't stop their behavior, but maybe somebody reports it. And so they're not ready to stop it themselves, but we as a community step in and say, it's not okay. You're going to be held criminally responsible. You're going to lose, you know, some tread with your family.
Sports Focus will return right after this.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion of ways for high school athletes to speak out against domestic violence. We're talking with Jerry Scrocky from Hays County, Texas, and Coach DeVore Holman at Davie County High right here in North Carolina. Coach, your players, to what degree do they understand that because high school football is sort of the thing to do on Friday nights and in many communities across the country, how much do they understand that they're sending a message to the rest of the community simply by wearing purple shoes?
Well, you know, I believe that they understand it, you know, very well. We're the only high school in the county. So normally on Friday night home games, especially, the county pretty much shuts down. So, you know, there's tons and tons of fans in the stands every Friday night at home. So, I think they understand the purpose of what we're doing. We're not just wearing purple or shoes or a purple wristband because of the sake of wearing it. We're wearing it for a purpose, and I believe the more that we talk about it, the more that they understand. Some of them understand it immediately, and some of them think that, you know, initially that, you know, this is just a fascist statement. No, and I want them to understand that and hear me clear when I say that. This is more than a fascist statement. This is trying to communicate to people in the community, and as Ms. Jerry alluded to, it can go from our community to our neighboring communities, that domestic violence and things of that nature is not okay. I'm not okay with it, you know. And it's just like on defense, if you're going against the offense, you want to blitz that offense. You know, we need to blitz this epidemic.
Jerry, when we hear about domestic violence, whether it's Ray Rice, a very high-profile person, or just someone in the community, a lower profile, but still, the media tend to concentrate on the perpetrator, the person who did the violence. Maybe we hear a little something about the person who was hit, but we don't hear much, and we don't hear hardly anything about the families of both sides. And as a law enforcement officer, I'm sure that you deal with both. And how, to what degree are your volunteers going to be able to share some of those broader messages with people at the games?
Well, this is a very big part of this program. Our red silhouettes that tell the story of our victims, we were very careful. We didn't mention our suspects' names, the person who committed this violence. We wanted to make sure that people understood this was about our victims. So if you read these, when you see these silhouettes, you're going to just see our victims' names. And not only that, but we actually had a victim come and talk about their experience, to put a face and a name with our victim. And we want people to start recognizing that this is about the victim, what's happening to them, and we have briefings with all of our volunteers prior to the game, with a law enforcement official and a victim services person to address just the things that you're talking about. So we have a briefing prior to the game. We talk to them about what's in there, and then we also have someone, if they come up and want to ask questions that is out of their realm of knowledge, then what we do is we hand them off to a law enforcement officer or someone within victim services within our respective police agencies, that they can actually spend a little bit more time with them. And we also encourage them, if this isn't the time or the place, hey, call this number and someone will make time for you. And so that's part of our outreach efforts, as well as what we're training the volunteers prior to them being deployed out to do that.
Coach, just the other day, I had a former student. I won't share her name because I didn't ask permission to do so. But she posted a photo that that was taken just after she suffered domestic violence. And I had no idea. And yet, those are the things, I think, that really impact people, that we are concentrating on the victims and not the perpetrators. Of course, we have to get them some help, too. But it's the victims, really, who are the important parts of this, correct?
That is correct. Like I said, Ms. Jessica Allen, she teaches one of some of our art classes here at school. And she has been, you know, she is a survivor. And she's been through it, and, you know, just listening to her testimony and talking about what she went through, it touched my heart. And I believe the more people that are willing to share their stories with people, I think that eventually the more we do that, the more people will start coming forward. Because, you know, domestic violence is something that not only could be physically, but it could be mentally as well. And we need to just try our very best to help in any way that we can possibly. And, you know, and at the end of the day, I can lay my head on my pillow at night knowing that I've done the very best that I can, you know?
And, Jerry, I think one of the really important messages to the athletes, of course, the athletes are sending a message, but they're also receiving a message. And it is, as Coach has alluded to, you can be a star. You can be an aggressive, hard-hitting player on the field and not let that aggression come through off the field. So to what degree are the players, you think, receiving this message?
We're very lucky. I think our coaches have been very receptive. Our school districts have been very receptive. We're doing a lot of after action. We have somebody come in and talk to the team as a whole. I'm a firm believer that change starts with our young people. What they see, what they hear, what they do leaves a lasting impression on their lives and anyone that they touch. And the more we recognize that this is a community issue and that it's only going to be stopped if we all do our part. And I believe that our teams have been committed to this through their coaches, their leadership, their mentors, and the school districts, as well as how we live our community and the voice that we all have. And it is absolutely wonderful to see these young boys put this ribbon on their helmets, and they understand and truly get what we are trying to represent.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guests, Lieutenant Jerry Scrocky and Coach DeVore Holman. Thanks also to producer Andrew Stern and engineer Gary Kirk. Thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall of the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a production of UNC's College of Journalism and Mass Communication.